Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. Alan is leading and I'm tech person this morning. So any failures on the tech side are entirely in my hands today and not in Alan's. I've muted Alan as well. He's just saying something. Just saying, I'll unmute him again. Alan.
Right. Mark. Let's start. Welcome, everyone. We may get one or two more join us, but Mark will sort them out, so to speak, when they come in. Mark is raising his hand.
Yeah, I just got a couple of brief points I'd like to make before, sort of three brief points, really. The first brief point is next week on our Zoom service, Betty Trinder is coming to preach, the Methodist minister, Mattishall and Dirham and villages around. She is retiring this year. We were due to have her as our preacher at our Village Green service, which obviously we were not allowed to do. So she instead, she's going to come and preach for us next Sunday. The second brief point is we are still looking to have a physical act of worship happening at 10 o'clock next week. We haven't yet decided exactly where it's going. We're still doing risk assessments and working out numbers and how we can do things. So watch out for emails later on in the week when we've made a decision about where it'll be. It's a kind of a sense of an alternative in this first phase. So Zoom will carry on at 10 o'clock and then we will have this physical act of worship at 10 as well, which I will be leading. The third brief point is, can I encourage you to join our coffee after the service? Last week, one of the groups was there for ages having a good chat. It's a good way for us just to meet up with each other and also to make kind of connections across some of the congregations that we have. So that's 3 points. I can't remember what the fourth one is, so I shall stop and go back into my tech mode hole and hand back over to Alan.
Right, so can you spot that me? Please. Lovely. Well, as Mark said, welcome to our service this morning. We're continuing our series on Paul's letter to the Philippians. I think we're on our fifth week now. And Andrew will be speaking on the passage from chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, which even if you didn't know it before this service, you will recognise immediately when Mel starts reading it because it makes up part of our liturgy. Stephen will be leading our intercessions and Roger and Pat will be leading our responses. In terms of notices, just quickly that there are three groups meeting this week. There's the men's group tomorrow, Greg's Close group Tuesday afternoon, and the Mill Road group on Thursday night, usual times. We had the men's breakfast, hopefully our last virtual one yesterday. We're aiming to get back to Tabnaps next time, which will be Saturday, August the 8th. And any gentlemen are very welcome to join us. But I think I'll have to let them know how many of us will be joining. But there'll be more information on that soon. The last notice is food bank. Again, if you've got some food that you can go and buy or already have, you can drop it around to us at 4 Mill Road and Sue will take it into the food bank tomorrow morning. She gets there about 10. So if you want to go there this week, you need to get it to us by 9:30, say. Right, that's the end of the notices. Let's pray before we start our service properly. Father, thank you so much for the ability to meet together like this each Sunday. Thank you, though we are restricted in meeting physically, there is this technology which enables us to meet together, to meet people from churches we might not normally get to see very much at all. Thank you that we can share together. And above all, thank you for meeting with us today. Please help us to worship you the way you should be worshipped. Make us truly thankful for all you've done for us through Jesus. Amen. So could we have the words, please, Mark? Lovely.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We'll sing our first song together, our first hymn, At the Name of Jesus. As we meet each Sunday, we are hopefully, aware of our failure sometimes to do the will of our Father in heaven. And we know that when we realise this during the week, we should confess our sins then. But we don't always, do we? So when we meet together, it's a good time to confess our sins together. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. So let's show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners like us, bring us his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen. And in recognition of our forgiveness and thankfulness for our forgiveness, let's sing these two songs together, All I Once Held Dear and Cornerstone.
There was a bit of an error in the numbering, obviously. I didn't spot. We've already sung All I Once Held Dear.
Have you gotten Amazing Grace on? And what was the... at the?
So we can have Be Thou My Vision.
Let's just sing Cornerstone. We'll just sing Cornerstone.
Done the wrong ones. Just a second. I do apologise for that. That's my mistake. I managed to pick out the wrong songs. Right.
Righteousness, I dare not trust. dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne.
We're now going to have our reading. Mel, would you please bring us the passage from Philippians? Thank you very much.
In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Mel. Andrea, would you please bring us your talk now? Thank you.
Shall we pray? May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, may you speak to all of our hearts and minds this morning as we explore this passage from Philippians together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Attitude.
Do we have a problem? I think we've lost your sound, Andrea. Could you just say something?
Can you hear me?
Are you okay now? That went very, if you'd like to start again.
Yeah, I'll start again. That's not a problem. Okay.
Reinforce your point. Reinforce your point.
Andrea, it might just be worth, before you restart, if there's anything else running on your computer.
Nothing.
Close it down. Browsers, Teams, anything like that, because I found that that's sometimes a problem.
No, I've switched everything off.
Wonderful. Good.
Can everyone hear me all right? Good. Thank you. I'll start again. So, attitude. I wonder when you hear the word attitude, what image of it conjures up? Do you imagine attitude? You still can't hear me?
Actually, I could hear you when I unmute. So if you'd like to start again, I'll just sit here very quietly. It might be something interacting with my computer. Give it a third go.
Do keep shaking your heads if you lose me at any point.
Take three.
Right. So, attitude. What images are conjured up in your head, in your imagination? I wonder if you, when you hear the word, you imagine people with bad attitude, people with good attitudes. If we could have the first picture, please. Catherine Tate's creation, Lauren Cooper. Renowned for quite a bad attitude. I wonder what she would think of us doing church this morning. She might sound a bit like this. All right. Are you on the computer? Is you doing church on the computer? Is you listening to a sermon on the computer? Am I interrupting your sermon? Am I bothered? I ain't bothered, though. I really ain't bothered, though. Church, computer, Zoom, sermon, I ain't bothered. Well, I am quite bothered, so we'll move to the next picture, if we may. Someone with a slightly better attitude to life, Sir Tom Moore. We all remember back in April, Tom Moore celebrated his 100th birthday, and he walked around his garden, raising £1.2 million for the NHS. Not only that, but raising the spirits of many people with his amazing attitude to life. Can we lose the picture now, please? So what kind of attitude do we have? What kind of attitude are we called to have? Our Bible reading from Philippians today began in chapter 2, verse 5, with the words, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Last week, we were thinking about what it might look like to be citizens of the Lord, to be united in the gospel, and to consider others better than ourselves. This verse 5 sets the scene. It sets the tone for verses 6 to 11. It makes it clear that what we are to do is to be like Jesus, to think what Jesus thought, to do what Jesus did, to have the same attitude toward being a servant. Bishop Tom Wright translates this verse in his translation of the New Testament like this. "This is how you should think among yourselves. With the mind that you have, because you belong to the Messiah, Jesus." This is how you should think among yourselves. With the mind that you have, because you belong to the Messiah, Jesus. It seems that Paul does not just want us to copy Jesus, but we're to have an attitude like Jesus because we belong to Jesus. What follows next is poetry. And as Alan said at the beginning, these words will be familiar to us. If you joined us on Zoom over the past few weeks, you will know that we've been using these words, and we will again today, to declare our faith together. We're not sure if Paul wrote these words or if he's quoting an earlier Christian writer, but one thing we see here quite clearly is a very, very early statement of Christian faith. We are told who Jesus is, what he has done, what God has done, and what all of heaven and earth will do because of his name. So who is Jesus? Verse 6 says he's divine, he is God. Verse 7 says he's human, he's one of us. Let's just stop for a moment and make sure that we're not misunderstanding these two verses. Jesus making himself nothing, becoming human, does not mean that he stopped being divine. The point being made here is that Jesus is already equal with God before he commits himself to taking the form of a slave to show what it really meant to be divine. Jesus does not consider his equality with God something to be taken advantage of. Rather, the eternal Son of God, the one who became human in and as Jesus of Nazareth, regarded his equality with God as a commitment to reconciling himself to the world and reconciling the world to himself. Verse 8 says, "So being in human form, he humbled himself He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Can we have picture three, please? This is what it looks like to be equal with God. When you look at this image, the incarnate Son of God dying on a cross, sacrificing himself for the sake of the world, saving the likes of you and me from God, I wonder what is the most important, powerful thought that you could be thinking. Could Christ crucified be the true meaning of who God is? This is the God of self-giving love. Can we lose the picture, please? Jesus was crucified, he died and was buried, and on the third day rose again. Jesus ascended into heaven. Verse 9 says, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Now we all know that names are important. There is something very special about being called by your name. The Bible is full of names, some of which we can't pronounce, but they all are given meanings. Some of you will know we are expecting our first grandchild later in the year, and we had a discussion this week with our son and daughter-in-law about the names that they had rejected for their son, based on the meanings, some of them. Very weird and wonderful meanings some names have. If you're someone who likes numbers, you may be interested to know that within the Bible, there are 198 different names and titles for Jesus. Jesus is given the name that is above every name. So what is the connection? Why should Jesus, who did what verses 6 to 8 said he did, be exalted in this way? The simple answer is that Jesus has done what only God could do. There at the incarnation and on the cross, God reveals himself both as the creator and sustainer of the world, and as Jesus of Nazareth. So different and yet so intimately related that they are called Father and Son. Yet together with the Holy Spirit, they are one God. In verse 11, the poetry continues, and we have a quote from Isaiah. To me and to me alone, says Yahweh, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here then is the point that God, who would not share his glory with anyone, has shared it with Jesus. Therefore, we are able to identify Jesus as one who from all eternity is equal with God. His death on the cross did not require him to stop being God, but as the perfect self-expression of the true God. This is our God, who is known most clearly when he abandons his right for the sake of the world. Friends, Christ loves us and died for us and forgave us and accepted us and justified us and gave us eternal life and made us heirs of the world when he owed us nothing. He treated us as worthy of his service when we were not worthy of his service. He gave thought to our interests above his own. He counted us greater than himself. What love that we should know the joy of our Lord Jesus. So much that we, at the very name of Jesus, are brought to our knees. And we can't help but proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what should our attitude be? Excuse me. If King Jesus can humble himself from the point of being God, can we not humble ourselves by counting each other as much more important than ourselves? What a challenge. To desire the mind of Christ, the pattern of thinking that belongs to each of us, because we belong to the Messiah. Are we found in Jesus? It is only when we have this attitude that we will see God's church here in this benefice united and maturing in the joy of the Lord. When we are found in Jesus, we will see lives changed by the gospel. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And afterwards, we're going to listen to a song, O Perfect Love, O Perfect Sacrifice. I want to invite you to read the words as you listen to the song, to reflect on the sacrifice made by our Lord Jesus, who humbled himself so that we might belong and might be found in him. Let's pray. Loving Father, help us to be united together in the love of Christ. Give us a humility of heart and transform our minds into the mind of Christ, so that we may think the thoughts that you would have us think, so that we may be a channel of your love to others, so that we might be found in Jesus. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen.
As Andrew said, if you don't know the words, please just listen to them and reflect on them.
Fountain of life, pour down for You were condemned, but I go free. What truth to know that I can rest upon? Your perfect love has covered me. And what can this heart know?
As we meet together on a Sunday, we have the opportunity of encouraging each other. And one way of doing that is declaring our faith together. So let's do that using the words from the passage today. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing.
Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness.
He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Therefore God has raised him on high and given him my name above every name.
Thus at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
And every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Another thing that we can do together on Sundays is we can pray together, something that if we don't meet together, we can't, obviously. So Stephen's now going to lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray to the Father on this fifth Sunday after Trinity, for his church and the world, and thank him for his goodness. We're keen to pray, Lord, for all the nurses and doctors in hospitals and care homes who are working long hours caring for others during COVID-19, that they have the strength to carry on. Also, thank you, Lord, for all those who work in the emergency services. Keep them safe, Lord, as they often work in dangerous conditions to rest and care for us all. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Heavenly Father, we raise up you, people of this and other countries, now out of the media spotlight, who are still suffering due to natural disasters. We thank the aid charities work hard to support these people in their time of need. We raise at you, Lord, the family of David Lynn had her funeral on Friday. Comfort them, Lord, as they mourn. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lady, all the work she did to end the troops to the Second World War. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Her Majesty's Armed Forces, who are still serving in Gaza, Iraq, Israel, Syria, Turkey, and other war-torn areas. Strengthen and keep them safe, Lord, as they do their duties. We pray that agreement can be reached in these places and the fighting to further loss of lives avoided and the troops can return home. We thank you, Lord, for the nurses and doctors in the field hospitals who work to care for those who have been badly injured. Give them the strength, Lord, to carry on. Also pray you bless and support the families, Lord, while their loved ones are away serving their country. We thank you, Lord, the several charities who work to support those who are currently serving or ex-servicemen and women who are still suffering due to their war injuries and need some help. Bless and God lives our Queen, who gives her all authority and direct this every nation in the way of justice and of peace, that we may honour one another and seek the common good. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We thank you, Lord, that we are still able to meet for worship during lockdown through Zoom. Only thank you for the technical skills that Mark and Alan able us to do this. We pray that as lockdown is easing, it will not be long before we can turn to our churches to worship with singing. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We thank you, Lord, for the shopkeepers in our village, who are always there to provide what we need. Be with them, Lord. We thank all those in our villages who have helped others through COVID-19. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We pray for those who are less fortunate than ourselves, who doesn't know where their next meal is coming from and where they're going to lay the warm tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those who work in the food bank to sort and distribute the food to those in need. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We pray for all those who are waiting for hospital appointments, x-ray scans or operations that they can be seen soon so that problems can be sorted out. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We now pause to rise to the Lord in our hearts who need our prayers this morning. Mum. Be with them all, Lord, at this time. We thank all those who work hard, care for others at home with much, much recognition. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, he gave them this prayer to pray. And it doesn't start, "My Father in heaven," it starts, "Our Father in heaven." So this is a wonderful prayer to pray together as we meet this morning. As the usual, I as a service leader will say one version, but please do pray the version that's closest to your heart, the one that helps you most to come close to God. So we say together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're drawing close to the end of our service today. And this is our start of our final prayer. The Lord God Almighty is our Father.
He loves us and tenderly cares for us all.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way to God Almighty. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory today and forever.
Amen. May God the Father, who has given us his Son, who has given his Son the name above all names, strengthen us to proclaim Christ as Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and those we love and pray for, now and evermore. Amen. Now let's sing together, to God be the glory. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for taking part. Thank you for letting us worship God with you this morning. If you can, please do stay for a cup of coffee and a chat. We'll meet again in 5 minutes. And we normally hang around for about 15 minutes, unless you're in the Keen group from last week. There'll be about something like 7 people in your group. So there's enough people to chat with, even if you are a quiet person like me. So see you in 5 minutes.